Just want to speak for a little while this morning on thinking about the wonderful event of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and what an amazing thing that it was that happened, how that God became a man, how that the Son of God was born into this world and took upon himself flesh and blood, so that he might become our Savior. We're going to read quite a lengthy passage this morning, but it is a wonderful passage that speaks of this wonderful event of the Lord Jesus Christ being born into this world and the great news of that. And so, if you will, please follow along with me as we read this, and then we'll have a few thoughts on this morning. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of this child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. May God bless the reading of his word. A light to lighten the Gentiles. What a glorious occasion this was. An occasion that had long been foretold and long been spoken of, and everybody had been looking forward to. The coming of the Messiah, the coming of the King, the coming of this promised one. And there were these people that were waiting for this day, and they looked for it and they longed for it. And this day had finally come. What a glorious and majestic day it was. We see that the angels are giving announcement of this wonderful occasion. We see that even in the midst of that there are a company of angels that are rejoicing and worshiping and praising God and giving glory to God for this wonderful occasion. We see that there are those here, the shepherds come and they worship and they give praise to these glorious things that are done. There are those that are in the temple here that are giving praise and worship to God for these wonderful things that are done. So we need to remember today, as the children of God, that we need to give thanks and praise to God for this wonderful occasion when Jesus Christ the Lord was born into the world. And so just a couple of thoughts this morning as we think about this, as we give God praise for the gift of His Son, a light to us. You see, the Gentiles, we were in darkness and we had no hope. But yet a light has come. A light was born into the world, a light that would lighten the Gentiles, that would give us a light that we might see and that we might have a hope, that we might have a future with God. Without this happening, we would be lost in this world. We would be in darkness. Our sin would blind us to the truth, to the reality of our great need of a Savior, our great need of saving. But Christ has come, and He is the light of the world, and He is the light of the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. Without Him, we are lost. Without Him, we have nothing. Without Him, our life is empty and meaningless. But with Him, we have meaning, we have hope, and we have light to be able to see. But just a few thoughts this morning. You know, this is an occasion, this is an event that had been promised for thousands and thousands of years. This is something that had been in the works a long time. And you go all the way back, you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And you think of that time when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they sinned. Right? They fell into sin, they disobeyed God. They ate of that forbidden fruit. And sin separated them, right? Their sin separated them from that closeness and that fellowship with God that they once had. And we know that sin brought upon a curse, and how that sin has been passed down to each one of us, and so that we are born into this world sinners by nature, and that we are condemned by that sin to everlasting punishment. And we know that after they sinned, that God came and He was pronouncing a curse upon upon us, curse upon the serpent, a curse upon man. And so first we're thinking of this morning, number one, the promised seed. Because we find here in Genesis chapter 3, the very first announcement, the very first gospel message being proclaimed. And let's start in verse 12. The man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And then we find in verse 15 here, this promise of a seed. He says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." There was a promise here of a seed that would be of the woman, and that the seed of the woman would prevail over the seed of the serpent. And we know ever since this time that there have been those children of the devil, and there have been those children of God, and they have been at enmity one with another ever since this time. But it's not only that, it is something greater. There would be one that would come from the seed of the woman that would truly bring a death blow to the serpent. Right? And this is how it began to be understood. They were looking for this seed that would come of the woman, that would crush the head of the serpent, that would defeat this evil one. And so Jesus Christ, long before he was born into this world, he was the promised seed. He was the promised seed. He was the promised one that would come, that would be born of a woman, that would be born of a virgin, that would come and that would be born. And so the sin nature would not be passed on to him. He would be pure. He would be perfect. He would be holy, so that he could be the salvation of his people, so that he could be that perfect sacrifice for sin. And this was the promised seed that was promised thousands and thousands of years before this occasion. And this is what the children of Israel longed for and looked for. This was their hope. He was to be their Savior. He was be the one that would bring redemption to Israel. He would redeem them out of this curse that they were given. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Jesus Christ was born into the world. You know, this had to be a horrible day for the serpent. This had to be a horrible time for the devil. This is the day that he was dreading, the day when God came and was born into this world, when the God-man walked among the earth and walked among our midst. This was certainly a day that he didn't want to happen. But indeed, because God keeps all of his promises, this promise of a seed came true in this time. This seed of a woman, Jesus Christ, was of the lineage of the seed that was passed down from Adam and Eve. And this promise became a reality, and we see it here in the text today, how that these people understand and know that this is coming true, that this promise of a seed was here. We see it by what Simeon said. We see it by what Anna, the prophetess, said. This was the one that they were hoping for. This is the one that they were looking for. This is the one that God had promised them that they would see before they passed away. So the promised seed has come. The promised seed has come. Have we seen this promised seed today? Do you understand who Jesus is today? A lot of people don't understand who Jesus is today. A lot of people, when they think about this event, when they think about this time, when they celebrate Christmas in whichever way they do, all they think about is a baby in a manger. All they think about are the wise men or this or that. But they don't think about that this boy, This boy that was born into the world, he was this promised seed that had been promised for thousands and thousands of years to come. That he was this one that was going to crush the head of the serpent. He was the one that was to come to restore us back to God. That which was lost in the garden would be restored through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see him that way this morning? Have you seen the promised seed? I hope that you have. Jesus Christ is that promised seed. We do not look for another. We do not look for another. There is no one else coming. Jesus Christ was that promised seed. He was that one. And through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection, he has crushed the head of the serpent. He has crushed death. He has crushed the grave. And he has crushed hell itself. And one day, Satan, along with the grave, will be thrown in to the lake of fire because of this promised seed, that he came, that he lived, that he died, that he rose again, and that he ascended into the Father. So he was this promised seed. And we see that he is spoken of throughout the Old Testament, the foretelling of his coming, the promise of his coming. We go over into Isaiah chapter 9, and we see not only that there was the promised seed, but there was the promised son. Jesus Christ was that promised son, the son of God that would come. The son of God, the son of man, the hope of Israel, the hope of sinners. And this was a dark time and a dark day in Israel's history. But there was a promise of light. There was a promise of one to come that would bring them great hope and great joy, even in this time of darkness. Starting in verse 2 of Isaiah 9, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with the burning and fuel of fire. And then he says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. A son, unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born. This was prophesied long ago by the prophets, that one would come, even from Bethlehem. It was proclaimed in the book of Micah, that one would come from Bethlehem, that would be born of a virgin, and he would be this promised son that would come, that would bring deliverance. The government would be on his shoulders, and he would be called these names, and all of these so beautifully express who this Son of God is. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. He is wonderful. He is a Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is all of these things. He was the fulfillment of this promised Son, this promised Son of God that would come into the world. Have you seen the promised Son today? Who is Jesus to you? To a lot of people, Jesus is a figure in history. To a lot of people, Jesus was a great man. To a lot of people, Jesus was a moral man, a moral teacher of the law. To a lot of people, Jesus was many things, but a lot of people do not see Him and do not know Him as the Son of God, as the promised Son of God. And that's who He was. He came and He was born just as it was foretold. And the angels proclaimed the truth of who He was. Mary and Joseph, even Zechariah and Elizabeth, understood who He was. The shepherds, as it was revealed to them, understood who He was. The wise men, as it was revealed to them, understood who He was. And all those who came in contact with Him, whose eyes were open, saw who He was. He was not just a man. He was not just a good boy. He was not just a moral teacher. He was not just a great example. He was not just a philosopher. He was the Son of God. He was the Redeemer of Israel, the promised Son. Unto us a Son is given, unto us a child is born. And of the increase of His government there shall be no end. Brothers and sisters, we are examples today of this everlasting kingdom. This everlasting kingdom that has no end. That Jesus Christ came and He set up on this earth. And that is continuing until He comes again. This kingdom has no end. You are part of an everlasting kingdom because of this promised Son. Have you seen this promised Son today? What is He to you? Is He your Savior? Is He your Redeemer? Is He your salvation? You know, to a lot of people that you talk to in the world, they say that they believe in Jesus, right? They say they believe in God. They may even from time to time go to church. And they would even maybe call themselves Christians. But really all that Jesus is to them is life insurance, right? That's all that He really is. They give some acknowledgement that something's going to happen when they die. And so they think that if they at least acknowledge Jesus, and if they at least maybe in some way think that they're a believer, maybe that you know, they, if they just at least make a profession, that when they die, that they will go to heaven. And that's basically all that it is for them. Some of them will probably never even go to church. Some of them probably never even read their Bibles. Today might be the only day that they even darken the door of the church. But Jesus is more than that to me. Jesus is more than that to you. He is more than just life insurance. He is this one that was foretold of. He is the wonderful one. He is our counselor. He is our peace. He is our comfort. He is our God. He is our Savior. Jesus Christ was not just a promised seed. He was not just a promised Son. But He was the promised Savior. That's who we are looking for, and that's who we need. We need not a babe in a manger. We need a Savior. Right? And so we don't worship a babe in a manger. We worship a King on a throne. Yes, He was born, and we should rejoice in this great event that happened, and we should thank God for it, because without Him being born, certainly He could not have lived. And certainly if He did not live, He could not have died the death of the cross. And if He did not die the death of the cross, certainly He could not rose again from the dead. And certainly we would not have a Savior. But we are not here to worship a babe in a manger. We're here to worship a King that sits on His throne, the throne of David. So we see here really in our text, yes, we see this promised seed came, this promised Son came, but what we really see here is that the promised Savior came. We see it in everything that was said, right? Starting with when the angels appeared to the shepherds. What was it that they said? They says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Great tidings of great joy. When you think about Jesus, what comes to your mind? It should be great joy. Great joy because of what He has done for you. I mean, when we think about the birth of Christ and we think about what that means, it's more than just a boy being born into the world, right? It is God Himself taking on human flesh, and how this is possible, and how amazing that this is, and how wonderful this is, that God the Son, who has existed from all eternity, that He humbled Himself to be born of a woman, that He humbled Himself to take upon Himself human flesh. This is the great joy that it brings us, to know that our Savior humbled Himself in this way. It took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. What a joyous thing, because this is what it took for my salvation. This is what it took for your salvation. He had to come and He had to be born, and He had to take upon Himself our flesh so that He could suffer and die as a man, so that He could experience the wrath and eternal fury of God's wrath for us, for our sin. So they say, do not fear, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Right? This is what had been born. Not just the promised seed, not just the promised Son, but a Savior. This is what they needed. They needed a Savior who would come to save them from their sins. So what is our greatest need today? Is it gifts? Our greatest need certainly aren't gifts. Is our greatest need family? We certainly need our family, and we love our family. And I love this time of the year to be with family and to thank God for family. But our greatest need isn't family. Our greatest need isn't acceptance from those that we love. We love to be accepted. We love to feel the love of others. But our greatest need is our salvation. Our greatest need is to be saved from this wretchedness that we are, this sin that has separated us from fellowship with God. We needed a Savior to come to save us from our sins. So when we look at the birth of Christ, that's what we're to remember. We're to remember that a Savior was born into this world. And what a Savior He is. Hallelujah, what a Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And what is this heavenly host? Praise God. It says in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. Why? Because all glory belongs to Him, right? Christ laid aside His crown for my soul. He laid aside the glories of heaven to come down and to be born so that I might receive this salvation of my sins. Glory to God in the highest. Certainly no glory to man, but glory to God. And not only that, goodwill toward men, right? God receives the glory. We receive the goodwill because it is to us that the Savior has been born. It is for us. It is for our sins. And then I love these two stories of these people in the temple, don't you? It just fills my heart with such great joy to think about being there and seeing this. You know, Luke almost gives you this bird's eye view of being able to go in and to see this event, where this child, this Savior, is brought into the temple, and here you have this man, this devout man, this righteous man, this holy man who has been serving God, who has been waiting all of his life, right? He has been waiting all of his life to be able to see with his eyes this promised seed, this promised son, this promised Savior. He has been waiting, and it has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he laid his eyes upon this promised one. And God keeps all of his promises. And so they bring him in here as his custom is, to present him, to present a sacrifice, to present him before the Lord in the temple. And I love what it says. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So this was a man who was full of the Holy Spirit. This was a man whom the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would indeed look upon this one. That there would be no doubt that this would be the one. What about you when you look upon Jesus today? Do you look upon him and say that there is no doubt? There is no doubt that I have seen the Lord's Christ. There is no doubt that I have seen this Savior. And is he precious to you as he was to Simeon? It says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, Simeon goes over and he takes Jesus into his arms. Takes the Savior of the world, takes this promised seed, this promised son. He has been given the eyes to be able to see him for who he truly is. He's not just a child. He's not just a baby. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Savior of his own soul. And he takes this child Jesus, and he takes him into his arms. And I love what it says. He took him up into his arms and blessed God, saying, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. His eyes were blessed to see in this child, in this son, his salvation and the salvation of all of God's people. Do you see that this morning? Do you see Jesus as the Savior of your soul? Have you been given the eyes of faith to see this? If you have, bless God. Bless God. Give glory to God that He has opened up your eyes and that you have been filled with the Spirit so that you may have been able to look upon Jesus, not just as a baby that was born in a manger, but as the Savior of your soul. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And I love what he says, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Because Jesus Christ came, and because he was the Holy One, and because he would lay down his life, and because he would be that ultimate sacrifice for sinners, now the Gentiles would no longer be in darkness. No longer would they be wandering around in darkness and not knowing the truth. But because of what Jesus Christ came and did, and because of the message that would be preached and the gospel would go forth, the light would come to the Gentiles. They would be filled with the Spirit of God, and they would be able to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They would be able to have fellowship with God as the Jews have for years, for thousands of years. A light to lighten the Gentiles. What about you today? Has a light been given unto you? Have you seen Jesus and has he brought a light into your dark soul? Because I know there was a time in my life when all there was darkness. All there was darkness. Sin darkens the soul. And we cannot see. No matter how bad we want it, no matter how bad our parents want it for us, no matter how bad other people want it for us, Our eyes have to be open. And the light of the Gentiles has to come in and has to bring light into our soul. What about you today? Have you seen this light of the Gentiles? Have you seen this glory of the people of Israel? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is this one who was born. He is the promised seed, the promised son, the promised savior. He says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. You know, we have the opportunity of having God's word and being able to have all of the facts, all of the things presented to us, and get to see all the different angles and to be able to know what happens after this, and know the life of Jesus, and know the rest of what happens throughout history. But at this time, they didn't know all those things. You know, they knew the things that had been revealed to them by the angels. They knew what they knew of the Old Testament scriptures. But I don't think that they really understood everything that was going on. And so when this one came and they took Jesus and he said these things, it says that they just marveled. They were amazed at what was being said. And it was beginning to sink in who this child was. This child was precious. This child was indeed the salvation of Israel. It says, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel. How true that is. And for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And then here you have another example of another person who is waiting for this child to be born. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and she had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. Here was another faithful woman of God who had been looking, who had been searching for this promised one, this promised seed, this promised son, this promised Savior. And when she sees Jesus, her eyes are open. And she is able to see him for who he truly is. And it says, she coming in that instant. You know, nothing happens by accident with God. Nothing happens by accident. This man Simeon was here. He was led by the Spirit to the temple. That instant, she comes in and she sees the child Jesus. And what does she do? She gives thanks. She gives thanks unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. See, she knew what it was about. They needed redeeming, right? They needed this redemption. They needed this salvation. She was looking for a Savior who would save them from their sins, who would redeem Israel, who would restore them back to fellowship with God. So they were looking for this promised Savior, and it was revealed to them who Jesus was. Jesus is this promised Savior. He was the one that was promised long ago that would come, that would be born of a virgin, and that he would become the king of Israel. You know, and as I thought about these things, I thought about the verse over in Galatians chapter 4. What about you today? What do you think about this promised seed, this promised son, and this promised Savior? Does it bring great joy to you? It should. What other thing is there out there that can satisfy your soul? What else is there out there that can bring this great peace and contentment into your heart? What else is out there that can satisfy the longings of your soul than this Savior? We should give thanks and praise God, give all glory to God, and be filled with great joy for this gift that He has given us, this salvation that He has brought us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him, we have nothing. And so I thought about this verse, and it's such a beautiful passage. So we'll close with this. You know, before Jesus came, we were slaves sold under sin. We were in darkness. We were the Gentiles that were in darkness. And we needed someone to come to break our chains. We needed someone come to rescue us out of the darkness and bring us into the light. He says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 3, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." That may describe you today. You may still be in bondage. You may still be enslaved to the elements of this world. You need to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Your eyes need to be open. A light needs to lighten your soul. "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." But something changed, right? Something happened. Something changed the direction of our lives and the course of our lives forever. It says in verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come," Jesus Christ came exactly the right time, in exactly the right way. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Don't forget that when you're thinking about this event. Remember that God sent forth His Son, and that He was made under the law, that He took upon Himself this humanity. Don't forget what Jesus Christ has done for you, what He did for you in humbling Himself, what He did in His sacrifice on your behalf. Don't forget that. He was made under the law for you. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." So Jesus Christ was sent forth by God. He was the Son of God. He was made of a woman. He was made under the law so that He might bring redemption, so that He might buy us back to God, so that He might set us free from our sins, so that He might give us that light to light the way, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Isn't that amazing? We went from being slaves, sold under sin. Jesus came and He bought us. He bought us with His own blood, and He gave us to the Father. And the Father took that which was given to Him by the Son, and He used that to buy us back to Himself. And He adopted us into His family. And so now we are the sons and daughters of God. I think I saw a quote, might have been yesterday, from J.C. Ryle, said that the Son of God became a man so that men might become the sons of God. Isn't that good? The Son of God became a man so that men might become the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God, the promised Savior. "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So I pray that as we think about this time and as we rejoice in this time, that we will remember this promised seed, this promised Son, and this promised Savior, and that we will give all the glory to God. May you be filled with great joy as you think about this Savior. God bless you and keep you is my prayer.